Hello and welcome to the Geek Interview Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas, alongside, as always, fourth and long. He always goes for it. It's Russell Jones. Russell.
Fourth and long. We've got three guys injured off the starting list. Go for it.
Always go for it.
You hand it off to, you know, the guy that you have been building in your Madden hack set forever.
This has got 99, 99, 99, 99.
He just runs rings around.
He's your best running back. He's your best quarterback. He's your best receiver. He could throw the ball to himself and catch it down the field.
Yep. He's 5 foot flat, like 450 pounds, and just rolls.
He looks like Mayor McCheese.
Yep. People just bounce off of him.
That's how I do it.
See, if a Super Bowl were run more like a Madden game, I think that might have actually encouraged me to watch instead of doing what I did this Sunday, which was watch Downton Abbey and Sherlock.
Sherlock we will get to. We decided to wait on the podcast because there are always a lot of commercials that come out during the Super Bowl, specifically commercials for movies, which most people call trailers. And we kind of wanted to do this whole countdown of the trailers from the Super Bowl, which we are going to do. There were six trailers either broadcast during or around the time of the Super Bowl. And we want to, for your benefit, rank them from the best to the not best.
Also called by most people,
right?
The worst.
They're terrible, and we have a little bit of an argument at the end as to what's the worst. We generally agreed on the top four, that order, but we have a little bit of a disagreement at the end to get to. But Russell, I'm gonna let you kick it off with the best trailer broadcast during or around the Super Bowl.
That would absolutely be hands down the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer, in which we saw not only a very specific and solid look at just who Electro is, his character, the story that we're going to see kind of developing over the course of the thing, and we got some really good Spidey quips in the process. You know, that was really solid. We also got to see some very, very interesting looks at just what else is cooking behind the scenes at Oscorp and some other villains that would be showing up possibly in the movie, maybe further down the line. There was a while back, I remember during one of the trailers, you saw five doors open and then it cut away to some other shot. And it didn't really show you what was behind those doors, but I think we've gotten a better look at just what might be behind those doors, because two of the things that you saw in the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer were Doc Ock's backpack with the arms. And if I'm looking at them correctly,
it is Vulture's wings.
The Vulture's wings. Yes. So we see how Electro happens.
Right.
We've already seen Spider-Man rise as a result.
We know what happens with Rhino. Rhino is basically a mech suit.
Which looks amazing.
They really did a good job. You know, I mean, I Paul Giamatti as Rhino, if you told me I would be kind of interested in it, I don't know, 6 months ago, I'd be like, you're crazy. No, I get it. They're kind of going to give him more of a Spider-Man upbringing. Yep. They're putting him in this mech. Now, I don't know if they're going to, like biologically strap him into it, as in, like, he's connected to it, like, tubes and shit, which would be cool. Yeah. Or if he's just riding inside of it.
Kind of like they did with Scorpion once or twice. Scorpion has been seen in a couple of cases. And I want to say that for the Spider-Man game, they actually had Scorpion as a biomechanical, kind of fusion.
I believe, for Spider-Man 2, the game for the original Xbox, I believe he was a biomechanical.
Now, here's the thing. Paul Giamatti being in a mech suit as Rhino, that's an acceptable way of looking at the character. Now, putting The Social Network as Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have necessarily.
No, we're not. We're specifically not talking about the news that came out about Batman versus Superman. We'll probably get into that next week, primarily because that could be a whole podcast. And this is something I specifically wanted to do. We'll talk about that next week. There are some other things too.
Yeah, the other thing with this trailer, the reason why I ranked this trailer over the next one on the list was because this one actually gives us a much broader right. view and a better look at just the scope of the story that we're totally going to see. You have the rough sketch of what you can expect to see when you go see Amazing Spider-Man 2.
In about
30
seconds, which works really well. I mean, we get five name Spidey bad guys in one 30-second trailer. You're getting Hawk with the arms. You're getting Vulture with the wings. You're getting Rhino actually seeing him. You're getting Electro yep. actually seeing him. And he has a line. And you're yeah. getting the Green Goblin, a.k.a. Harry Osborn. We assume yep. it could potentially be his dad. But the Green Goblin showing up.
Well, we have whoever Heisenberg is, you know, dude with the hat.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that guy is, that's a big question mark.
I assume that that's, you know, Big Osborn the senior.
Maybe.
So, that's who I've assumed it's always been.
But I can see them kind of, that makes sense, that makes sense, but I can see them kind of pulling a fast one. Making that maybe even Norman Osborn's, like his chief of research and development or some shit like that. It could be, I mean, hell, it could be Otto Octavius.
You know?
I mean, it fits.
That's...
Or it could be the Vulture, whose real name I've forgotten.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but which villain was it that was actually responsible for the death of Gwen Stacy? Like, I can't remember if it was Doc Ock or if it was the Green Goblin. I want to say it was the Green Goblin for the longest time. And of course, IMDb is
that's true.
But no, it was the Green Goblin. Green Goblin abducted Gwen Stacy, lured him to a tower of either the Brooklyn Bridge or the George Washington Bridge. It wasn't named in the text. And he hurled her off the bridge. Spider-Man caught her by her legs, and it caused her neck to snap. Those are the events of the Amazing Spider-Man number 121.
Yeah, for those reasons, there were things I didn't like about the trailer. I didn't like the end of it with the stupid chimney joke. If you're gonna end your trailer on a joke, make it a good joke. And not, I was cleaning the chimney, we don't have a chimney. Bleh? Which is exactly how the trailer ends. But beyond that, I can overlook that for sake of having five yep. named Spider-Man villains in the movie.
Well, we can't say for sure.
Not necessarily in the movie. Having five named yeah. Spider-Man villains in the trailer.
Yeah, or at least allusions right. to, you know, right. two of them. Because you're going to have
yeah, we're having at least three.
Three is
We're
plenty.
Having at least three.
We're also now technically one short of the Sinister Six.
That's true.
Which would just be if you want to talk about how insane could they get, Sinister Six is, I think, your upper limit.
Yeah, but the Lizard's gone now.
Well, the Lizard is gone, yes. The Sinister Six, the original Sinister Six, included Doc Ock, Vulture, uh-huh. Electro, Kraven the Hunter, Mysterio, and Sandman. I think that's six. Hawk, Vulture, Electro, Kraven, Mysterio, Sandman. Mm-hmm. Yes. At least half of those haven't been anywhere near this movie.
And we won't see some of them. I sincerely doubt we'll see Kraven. I sincerely doubt we'll see Sandman since he showed up
because they've
already
done
right. Sandman. Well... They haven't already done it, but it'd be harder. I can see somebody saying we're not going to do another movie with.
Right. There's only one way that I think you get mm-hmm. to the Sinister Six at that point, and that is either introducing Mysterio, which good luck, or that's pulling either Venom and or Carnage. And I think they'll go
either Venom or Carnage.
I think it would actually be Carnage this time
around.
I'd
love to see a PG-13 with Carnage.
Yeah. Oh, Carnage would just
it'd be awesome.
You want to talk about the sheer amount of, you know, body count that you could rack up?
Carnage is by far my favorite Spider-Man villain.
Yeah. Venom has always been kind of the nemesis just because he's been just, straight up evil and also kind of Spider-Man's other darker side. But he's also been very singular-minded about the symbiote trying to, you know, either eat and or merge with Parker. It's a really weird kind of relationship. But Carnage has been about one thing, as his name suggests.
Right. Here's who I think should play Carnage. Norman Reedus. Norman Reedus, I'm calling it right now, should play Carnage. He looks like the guy... Cletus Cassidy. He looks like the guy I think he could play that dark, tortured, you know, backstory thing pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm going to call that right now.
I think it's perfectly doable. And I think that, yeah, he would be a good fit for that role.
So that's who I'm going for the whole way.
So that's a lot of time talking about The Amazing Spider-Man. We haven't even gotten to the ones that we really want to talk about, which are the really horrible movies.
Well, we can
also, yeah.
Next on our list, I think we can breeze through a good portion of the list, because the second trailer, of course, has to be Captain America Winter Soldier. Now, great trailer.
Yep.
I would say, and I said this when we were putting this list together, I would put it in quality of trailer, in just blatant trailer quality, above Amazing Spider-Man 2. Now, Amazing Spider-Man 2 leapfrogs it because of all the cool shit we get to see. Just based on what it is, not based on what actually happened.
Yeah, and also because we got a serious, you know, solid angle. What is the goal of this trailer? The goal of this trailer is, here is why we're dealing with the villains that we're dealing with, and here is, you know, the scope of the film. With Winter Soldier, it's kind of been the same trailer over and over again.
Right.
In a
it's
way.
A good trailer.
And this doesn't really do
it's
much
a,
to change
it's
that.
A
it
good
is a good
trailer.
Trailer.
We get a little bit more. We're seeing a lot more of how the whole Winter Soldier thing went down. We got our first look at the Falcon, which is really nice.
Like an actual honest-to-God look rather than just a...
Right, a little, oh, was that the Falcon or was that not the Falcon? We get a real in-depth look at the Falcon, which is good. But overall, we're not getting much more than we've had, you know, before. We see Sam Wilson, he has some lines, he's buddies with Cap... there's some fighting. You get a little ScarJo doing her thing, which is nice to see that she's going to be apparently a force through a good portion of the film. She's at least going to get some ass kickery in, which is good because we'll never get a Black Widow movie.
Because the thing is that they, and this might wind up being the movie that we were kind of hoping that we would get with Black Widow and Hawkeye. You know, a Cold War, you know, spy and assassin kind of Behind the Iron Curtain movie. Instead, we're getting the kind of postmodern, you know, grappling with the issues of just how far is too far in terms of, you know, I thought we were protecting people. And a lot of, you know, frowny Captain America face throughout the movie. But instead, it seems like they're trying to at least, especially if you watch the international trailer, there are a few lingering moments where Captain America and Black Widow are just kind of gazing at each other in a way that the trailer suggests.
Well,
they're
playing that up for what it is. That's not something I think that's going to be a big deal. Though I do think it's funny that you started to say modern and you stopped and said mod, because right when you thought that, I was like, you know what, they kind of are like the mod squad. You've got one black, you got one white, you got one not actually blonde, she's got red hair, but whatever, two out of three ain't bad.
The thing is that, I mean, she's supposed to be working alongside Cap throughout most of this kind of investigation thing, so, and at some point I mean, you see some really solid shots, like where she, the one I remember, it was either from the international trailer, this one, is where she's going off the edge of an overpass in a car, hits a grapple, swings down with the car, is in flames, and she hits the bottom of that rope and just starts running. And watching that stunt, I was like, that was actually a really solid stunt.
It's good action-y type stuff.
So, oh yeah, very, very good. I think we're going to see some really incredible action sequences and fight scenes out of this movie, because there's tons of helicarriers now that are being thrown all over the place, which is
crushing
always good
the stuff.
Because they cannot keep those things in that
and
air.
It's a little less fantastical than even you get with your Iron Man's, your Hulk's, your Thor's. So it's going to be, I think they're going to try and pack more in, as opposed to, you know, you can do a Hulk movie, three real major sequences, two kind of minor, one major to end the thing off, and you're good. With this, I could see having like five, two major, you know, three sort of minor, which is cool, which is what you want from something like Captain America. And I think from what we've seen in the trailer, that kind of bears that out. Third from the top, so this is our third best trailer that premiered during the Super Bowl, would be Muppets Most Wanted. Now, not necessarily a movie that we've talked a whole lot about. The Muppet movie that came out a few years ago, Jason Segel, solid movie. Really good movie. I dug it. I know a lot of people that really, really loved it. I wouldn't put myself in the camp as to actually really, really, really loving it, but I really enjoyed it. The Muppets Most Wanted. The trailer is a little different. I don't believe this played actually during the game. If it did, it may have played during the pregame show. I didn't watch the pregame show. But the trailer itself is kind of interesting. I'm going to link all these trailers in the podcast page. Go take a watch of this one specifically if you haven't seen it, because it's very meta. It kind of is making fun of other trailers in a Muppety type fashion, which is fun.
Especially internet movie trailers.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because all of the Super Bowl, correct me if I'm wrong, but all of the Super Bowl spots, I don't know if they did this with the trailers or not, but the Super Bowl commercials were available on the internet, and you could watch them, like, on Hulu, like, a week before the game.
A good portion of them were released early. Not all of them, but yes. I think the ones that they really hoped would make a big impact were all released early. The Full House reunion Oikos commercial was released early. The Budweiser puppy dog commercial was released early. A couple of the other ones were too, but not all of them. Some of them were genuinely put on as world premiere sort of stuff. And there's a certain thing to watching the Super Bowl when you watch commercials, because lately they've been doing a lot of very self-referential stuff. There's a pistachios commercial with Stephen Colbert where he starts off and it's very much like, I'm Stephen Colbert, here's pistachios, you should eat them. And then another commercial plays after that, and then after that he's back and he's like, well, since the stock of pistachios didn't raise, you know, 1,000,000% in the last 30 seconds, it's stuff like that that you can't really, that you have to watch to get into. I'm an ad guy, so I watch the Super Bowl for that. I also like football, which means I hated the Super Bowl because it sucked. And the ads all tended to suck and the halftime show sucked. But I watched it regardless. Muppets Most Wanted looks really cool. Lots of cameos by people. In fact, I think Tom Hiddleston from old Loki himself makes an appearance or two in Muppets Most Wanted, which was cool. He was also in a commercial during the Super Bowl playing a generic British bad guy, which was fun. So Muppets Most Wanted looks pretty good. I'm kind of neutral, to be honest. But it's better than the last three, because the last three were kind of lame.
Yeah, this has an interesting kind of premise, and, you know, it has a lot of the same kind of thing you'd expect to see from Muppets movie. It's kind of like, I would liken it to the Lego video games. At this point, if you like them, if you like the, you know, shtick that they've got, you're going to continue to like it. If it's not for you, then, you know, you can continue to move along without having to worry.
Right, I don't think anyone is really pissed off about the Muppet movie. Though I will say this about the Lego movie. At last check on Rotten Tomatoes, it had 100% with 13 reviews in. So
it is a shtick that works.
Maybe a movie to go see. A lot of people are saying in the same vein as Toy Story. Maybe a movie to go see over the weekend. Maybe you wait 3 weeks when the kids have all seen it and go see it by yourself. You never know. But thought I'd throw that in there. We'll go ahead and call this the third worst.
This is the race to the bottom now.
Yeah, we are officially out of the good, enjoyable trailers to the third worst. I believe this movie is called Engine Noise, Engine Noise, Engine Noise, Guy from Breaking Bad, Engine Noise, Engine Noise. But someone told me it was actually called Need for Speed. Now, if you look at it, if you watch the trailer live like I did and you weren't really familiar with Need for Speed as far as there being a movie, I obviously know Need for Speed as a video game. If you didn't know they were coming out with a movie, and you didn't know that the guy from Breaking Bad was going to be in the movie, bitch, then you might have looked at that and gone, didn't they just do a Fast and the Furious movie, and didn't that Paul Walker guy die? Like, shouldn't this have taken, like, a little longer? But then you get to the end, and he says, you got anything faster? And then it's great. If you like cars, and you like to look at them driving down the road...
Note that we said cars in general... Not cars as in the end.
Yeah, no, if you like car, like actual motor vehicles, you like watching them driving down the road, you'll enjoy the Need for Speed trailer. If you like the sound of an engine going, man, man, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll like the Need for Speed trailer. If you like content and information about the movie, if you like dialogue, if you like stuff that makes you use your thinking machine, you probably wouldn't like the old Need for Speed trailer. It's really, I mean, we could artificially blow up the amount of time to talk about it, but honestly, it's a bunch of engine noise, and then at the end, the guy from Breaking Bad says, "Do you have anything faster?"
And if you're a gearhead, now is your time to go through and, you know, start really just going off about all the different cars.
Hey, if that's your jam, man, then jam to it. To me, it was like, meh. I've seen a lot of car commercials already tonight. It is what it is. It's for people who are interested.
It was unimaginative, and it was
boring. People who are interested in that sort of thing, not us. It was a little boring. Now, here's our problem. We've gotten down to the bottom. Here's our problem. Russell and I cannot agree as to which of these trailers is the worst. I am firmly
I know which one is the worst. I know which one is the worst. It's just Jeremy does not have the necessary background for him to recognize which
one is the worst. I am firmly in one camp. Russell is firmly wrong. the two trailers we're talking about, we're going to go ahead and call them equally bad, even though I think one of them is worse. And Russell thinks one of them is worse. So,
oh, God. It's obviously worse.
It's not obviously worse. I think the two trailers are Noah, which is a movie that exists that I'd never heard of before, and Transformers Age of Extinction.
With a dragon! I mean dinosaur! What? I know! Isn't it stupid?
Okay, well let me tell you why Noah's the worst trailer that aired during the Super
Bowl. Yeah, please.
Noah is a story from the Bible. At one point in time, there's a man with a sword who does what appears to be a move out of World of Warcraft.
Don't forget the fireflies or probably angels falling from
Noah
space.
Is a story from the Bible. There was a guy doing World of Warcraft moves. That's all you need.
Well, it also has Emma Watson, Jennifer Connelly, and apparently Anthony Hopkins.
You know what? I hope they enjoy the houses that they collectively buy. They're Noah paycheck because it's a story from the Bible, and somebody has a sword and does a World of Warcraft move. Like, he spins and he's encircled in flames, and then flames shoot out like he's fucking Ryu from Street Fighter.
If I can hazard a guess as to who that is, I'm actually looking at the IMDb cast list right now.
I'm assuming it's Archangel Gabriel, because he was the only one who had a goddamn flaming sword in the Bible.
Well, Frank Langella plays Azazel, so you got that going for you.
The fact that Gabriel and Azazel is in it tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins is playing Methuselah. That neat.
That's not neat. That's terrible. Now, Russell, tell me why. Now, here's the thing I have to preface. Russell is going to go on a nerd tangent now about something wrong that's Transformers.
Well, no. Before I do, I'm going to explain why Noah is not the worst.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I don't see how you're going to miss a story from the Bible with World of Warcraft moves, but I'm looking forward to it.
Quite simply this. It's still a story. And it is a story that is actually very well known in the broad strokes, much like other disaster films, which is kind of what this is. This is a biblical disaster film, much like Titanic. Everyone knows the ship goes down. All the other stuff, the band playing on, the draw me like your French girls, the guy hilariously banging off of the propeller on the way down that you could watch at least 30 times, you know? And everyone in the theater who is just so filled with anxiety and tension, just when that bong happens, they're like, ah! And they laugh in spite of themselves. Yeah. And everyone else who's there because they're there watching it with their other significant other because they couldn't help themselves and they had to go see it, just dies laughing for the next 5 minutes. This is a disaster film based on a story that is exceedingly well known and the various details of which you can play with as compared to Optimus Prime riding a dragon that is obviously not a T-Rex and is definitely not anything close to what we had ever imagined Grimlock could ever be, in some weird amalgamation of, hey, look at this different colored Transformer. Hey, look at this colored different Transformer. Hey, here's another shot of Mark Wahlberg's chin all over the freaking place with absolutely zero, not a single anything to tie a single story together. You don't even know who they're fighting. You don't even know why they're fighting. There is absolutely nothing going on except, hey, look, here's Optimus on the back of a dragon. Isn't that what you nerds wanted? Bay explosion. Michael Bay needs to get fucked in the ear with a dick made of knives. I'm sorry, but that's the bottom line. And that is why Noah is not the worst movie on this list, and Transformers is.
I disagree. I think you add armies and World of Warcraft moves to Noah, and it makes it worse. Everyone knew what we were going to get with Transformers. I would go so far as to saying that the Transformers movies are no longer connected to the Transformers mythos as a whole. If you're a Transformers fan, which I don't dislike Transformers, but I'm not a hardcore fan. I was more He-Man, Thundercats. That was me. I didn't do as much with the
which is why the viscera in you is not boiling. True,
but I would say if they came out with a threequel set of movies about He-Man, after the first movie, I'd go, okay, well, this is nonsense and bullshit, and it doesn't relate back to. At some point in time, the Transformers fans got off the bus and they're gone now. And now it's just that will go and pay their $8 to see flashing lights and computer-generated things whirring and slamming into each other and hearing loud booms and...
I saw the first piece of crap, and after that, I was like, nope, no more.
So there you go. I mean, yeah, but I think Noah breaks new ground in terribleness. That's why I think it deserves its slot at the bottom of the list. But Russell's vote for Transformers is as valid as my vote for Noah. So,
and believe me, in this scenario, absolutely nobody wins.
No, both of these are terrible movies. Nope. I'm thinking Transformers: Age of Extinction may crack 10%. On the old tomato meter. Noah, I would be shocked if it cracked 10%. Noah, I'd be shocked if it cracked 15%. Because it has so many names in it. At least the acting is going to be good. We hope. Mm. Blah.
Yeah, just a whole big amount of...
So from the top, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Captain America Winter Soldier, Muppets Most Wanted, Need for... And then tied for bottom, we'll call it like 100th place, Noah and Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Seriously, the race. Yeah,
and they've gotten to the bottom. It's just neck and neck. So I'm gonna link all of these trailers in the podcast page. Go take a look at them. Tell us what you think. Are we crazy? Does Noah look like the greatest movie ever? If you think that, stop listening to my podcast. I'm just kidding. I'm not, though. Stop, really. One more thing I want to cover, which has become a little bit divisive. This is the divisive podcast. In the Americas, the last episode of Sherlock just aired, I believe. Did it just air, or did you see it ahead of time somehow?
No, the last episode of this season of Sherlock, the three-episode miniseries season thing that they do, has aired in the U.S. It is done for this season. And we're probably not going to get another one for like 10 goddamn years because they hate us that much.
Which is understandable. I honestly, it wouldn't shock me if you never got another one because you got the Freeman. He's doing his thing. Benedict Cumberbatch is only getting more Benedict Cumberbatchian. He's going to be in everything. And
basically,
it's not slowing down.
Well, they are definitely going to come back. I mean, they have to, especially after what happened at the end of the third episode.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody because I know a lot of people haven't seen it. A lot of people won't see it until Netflix comes out. I've seen the first and the second episode. I have not seen the third episode. Now, here's the thing where Russell and I, where we, and I'm sure there's going to be another. That was just for That was just for the sake of to say that Benedict Cumberbatch is in everything. I was watching my cousin's basketball game that someone recorded to me. Benedict Cumberbatch was in it. That's really what I'm getting at. He was there. He just turned and waved at the camera, and then that was it.
Did you know his? You know he's in 12 Years a Slave.
I've
right?
seen 12 Years a Slave, and yeah, he is in it, and he does a really good job.
And did you know
that his family that his ancestors once owned slaves in Barbados? I did know that actually. Yeah, I did know that actually. 12 Years a Slave, which will likely win the Oscar for Best Picture, and deservedly so. So here's the little bit of you think, oh well, Sherlock's great. I haven't really been into Sherlock the last couple of seasons, and Russell still loves it. There's a show on CBS, and everyone draws quiet. There's a show on CBS called Elementary, which I actually like quite a bit more than Sherlock. And the AV Club, which is Onion's actual serious arm, somebody wrote that Elementary was better than Sherlock. And the nerd rage was palpable.
I think that they have a very legitimate argument, and I think that it's perfectly fine for them to make it. I mean, it's, the thing is, especially after watching the last episode of the season, Sherlock, there was Mark Gatiss is the co-creator. He also plays Mycroft Holmes. And he is a big Sherlock guy. Massive. And there are a lot of semi-faithful, you know, homages to the original stories. And then there's a lot of doing their own shtick. But at some point, what you can do, you know, they've gotten to the point now where their characters are their characters and their world is their world. And there are things happening with those characters and in that world that are not necessarily tied to the original stories and what you kind of consider when you look at Sherlock as a whole. I mean, there was stuff going on in some of those that you look at as a little kind of questionable. But in terms of, you know, what you might consider a pure Sherlockian show, and I think Elementary is a little closer to at least some elements of what could be considered like a better pure Sherlockian show. So there is an argument to be made, and I fully respect that. Then again, Benedict Cumberbatch, and, you know, that's kind of the end of the argument.
Well, if you like Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman as Holmes and Watson, which I do...
Yep.
That's cool. But you hit on, I think, the crux of the argument, which is they're the whole show.
Right. Well, they are two massive, massive pillars in the show. A third really big draw for the show, if you haven't seen the end of the second season, I apologize, shot himself in the head.
See, I didn't like Moriarty. I thought Moriarty was done as a real, like, as a comically over the top, kind of boring bad guy. I mean, he was what he was.
Okay. Don't ever say that around Macy.
He was what he was. I mean, I didn't find it very imaginative. He was just a crazy screaming guy. I mean, I didn't hate it, but again, it's more of a, if you're looking for a fresh, modern retelling of the Sherlock myth, for me, I go to Elementary. Elementary progresses the story. I love there being a female Watson, which works really well the way they do it and set it up. The most brilliant part, first of all, Lucy Liu is really good, and I'm not a huge Lucy Liu fan, but she's really good in the show, as is the guy that plays Sherlock, Johnny Lee Miller. Johnny Lee Miller plays Sherlock. He, as far as Sherlock's concerned, I have to admit, he's just as good as Cumberbatch is. I don't think he could take on some of the roles that Cumberbatch can take on. I don't think he could be Smog.
Yeah.
But as far as Sherlock's concerned, it's a little bit of a different interpretation. But Johnny Lee Miller, he does a really fantastic job. I like that the relationship between Sherlock and Watson is pretty much the same as a relationship between a male Sherlock and a male Watson, which is really strange because she's a female. And there are certain things about the relationship, but the core of the relationship is the same, which I really respect. They have their own Moriarty. They have their own Irene Adler. They have their own Mrs. Hudson. And it's always... They have their own Mycroft. And it's always... different than what you expect, but true to the source material. And I really appreciate
it's grounded
it.
In that.
It is really true to the source material, but different than what you expect. And It's good. Honestly, here's what would sell you on it, if you haven't watched it, is Irene Adler, Moriarty, just when you find out who those characters are, then you know you're watching something that's really, really, really great. And it is brilliantly done, in my opinion. And it's a huge twist that people just don't, that you just don't see coming, really. And it gets you. You get it. You're like, wow, that's pretty good. So, and on the flip side of this coin, I kind of feel like after the first season of Sherlock, it's kind of not been as good. I mean, Hound of the Baskervilles was almost like a Scooby-Doo mystery. Like, they're there, and then the thing, and with the thing. So, and that's me, and I'm clearly, if this were a post on YouTube, or on Facebook or YouTube, and people could comment, they would be telling me how big of an idiot I am, how Sherlock is better by leaps and bounds, and nothing can compare, and Elementary is garbage, and network TV is garbage, and blah, 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 blah. I understand that.
Yeah, but I will admit, I haven't watched
it. I think you need to watch it.
But having you talk about it, you know, I think I would like to watch it.
I think you need to watch it.
And like I said earlier, it's got its own. It definitely does. It has.
And I'm a fan of both.
Several things.
I'm a fan of both. I'm not saying you can't be a fan of both. I've seen the only episode of Sherlock I haven't seen is the third one. And the only reason I haven't seen the third one is because I just haven't watched it yet. I've been busy. I just got a new car and Super Bowl and all that other stuff. I've been a little busy, but I'm going to get to it.
Speaking of CBS series, there was a little bit of news today on Monday that I don't know if you noticed or not, because neither of us have really been watching this, but we used to, I think, all the time and talk about it quite a bit.
Are you talking about
Himyam? Nope. I'm talking about NCIS.
Oh, no, I haven't been paying attention to. Are you going to give me bad news?
No, I'm not going to give you bad news, no. Why would I give you bad news? Would you consider that a new spinoff set in New Orleans and starring Scott Bakula as the head agent would be bad news?
I would not think that would be bad news. I think that would be fantastic news.
Not at all. The Church of Mark Harmon has given its blessing. Another branch of the faith has been extended. I'm
totally with you. Didn't like NCIS Los Angeles all that much, but it is what it is.
And NCIS proper kind of got a little, it's gotten a little long in the tooth in some cases, but it's still Mark Harmon. And you really can't go wrong with Mark Harmon. And whenever my executive producer at the ABC station I work at right now, whenever I told him, he's like, oh yeah, there's a new NCIS and it's being shot in New Orleans and Scott Bakula's lead, he was like, God, he just started cursing a blue streak. He's like, nobody's going to not watch that.
Especially in Loser Anna.
Yep.
Yep. Yes,
because it's going to be shot, at least the pilot, because they're going to do, you know, they're going to do the exact same thing they did with Los Angeles. They're going to do a two-part episode down here that's going to air during, I imagine, sweeps for NCIS proper, and then they will spin off into their own series, exactly like Los Angeles did.
Which means Russell, our Lord and Savior, could be coming very, very close to where you live.
Our Lord Xavier Mark Harmon might be in New Orleans.
I'm not saying you should go and find him, but you should go and find him.
Stop. Look for the very short, white-haired guy.
I'm not saying you should go and find him and demand that he give you an autograph and maybe take a piece of his hair.
Or else I will take him home in my pocket.
But I think that's exactly what
because you should. Because he is seriously short. He is way shorter than people
Is
recognize.
He really? I didn't know that.
He's I have to look him up. He's probably my height, but...
watch him be 6'3", and then you have to do...
No.
Hale Harmon's.
Okay, no. He's 6 foot.
Yeah,
tall.
He's not short.
There you go.
You're doing 8 Hale Harmon's and 9 Our Father, which still actually works.
Hang on. Hold on a second. There's a reason why I thought he was short. I remember now. So he was in West Wing, and he played the special agent
Simon
who
Donovan.
Was...
You know, we...
You played Simon Donovan, agent who
Simon
was also...
Donovan. Right. Well, he's going to be shorter than
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney's like 8 feet tall.
Same height.
They're the same height?
They're the same height. They're both 6 feet tall.
Well, she's a very tall young lady.
In heels especially, yes. But, and she made that comment in the West Wing when they were on the shooting range, one of the best scenes of all time.
Perfect.
And she says, I like that you're tall and like you're the same height as me, you know.
Which is good, because Allison Janney is wonderful. And apparently her show that's also on CBS is not terrible, but I haven't watched it, so. So that is what it is. Anyway, that's about all the podcast time we have now that we've gotten into Church of Mark Harmon stuff. You don't want to listen to our religious beliefs. As always, our music is Op Prop featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. You know, check us out on Twitter. We are at GIR Podcast. I want you to let me know which trailer you thought was the worst. Was it Noah? Yes. Or was it, what is the other movie? Transformers, Rise of the Return of the Forbidden? Age of Extinction.
God, who knows?
Transformers, Age of Extinction. Make a lot of stink jokes because it's in there and that's what people will be doing when it comes out. You can go ahead and tweet us and tell me I'm an idiot for not for thinking that an Elementary is better than Sherlock. Just go ahead, I'm expecting it, and I will laugh heartily at your tweets. If you don't do the Twitter, you can send us an email to girpodcast@gmail.com. For Russell, this is Jeremy. Thanks for listening.
Me Grimlock, not dragon. Me Grimlock king.